Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 23rd, 2025, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. We're in the last two verses, the epilogue. 1 John chapter 5. This is Pastor Bingham. And before we get started, there's a few things. First of all, I didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock this morning. Last night after class, Deb was teaching the little people back here, and she went home, and we were having our pre-congregational meeting, the deacons and I in here. And so she was home, and I drove in and opened the back door, and she's standing there, and she says, "I'm having a heart attack. We have to go to the hospital right now." I said, "What happened?" I went over to get the mail, and all of a sudden I got this sharp pain, heavy weight on my chest. My heart started pounding. She says, "We have to go right now." We did. And her heart was beating 120 beats a minute. And I was with her till 2 in the morning. Then came home, and she's still at the hospital now. And of course, I appreciate all of your prayers on her behalf. You're wonderful prayer warriors. I was with her this morning, too, after I went back to the hospital, and I said, "You get any rest, any sleep?" She said, "No." Every 15 minutes, somebody came in. She basically was up 24 hours. And she said this, one of the doctors came in and said, "Now, when your heartbeat is like this, we usually, almost always, we start with medication. If that doesn't work, and a lot of times it doesn't work, then we get the out and shock your heart to try to get your heart back into functioning the way it's supposed to." And she goes, "Okay." And a few hours later, they came in, and there was one of the nurses says, "Your heartbeat is normal. That never happens. That never happens." I mean, she said, "I don't know of one case where it came in like you did and then it goes back to normal. I cannot explain this." This is the nurse. And Debbie goes, "Well, my husband is a pastor, and he's been praying nonstop since I've been in here. God answered the prayer. Debbie said, that nurse's eyes. Prayer? God? She says, yep. She says, well, I can't explain it any other way. She says, prayer. Prayer. Yeah, prayer and God. You got to try it. Works great, but appreciate your prayers. She's still in the hospital and will be there for, they just don't know how long. So I'd appreciate your prayers in that regard. And Rich Blair yesterday was at Las Ventanas Senior Living. And he has a report. The Bible lesson on the heaven special yesterday went well. This was our sixth lesson. And once again, the activity director alerted me that several of the attendees were in quarantine due to illness. But once again, there were seven residents there in attendance. To follow along in the Bible, several bring their own Bible, but a majority used the large print Bible provided by Upland Bible Church. Because of the age of the group, when Pastor Olson instructs us to turn over in your Bibles, we pause the lesson and take time to go around the room and help everyone find the passage. It is important to them to be able to follow along when the verses are read. This lesson covered our inheritance in heaven, 1 Peter 1:4. The pastor also referred to passages in Daniel and Habakkuk to describe our destiny in heaven, which gives us a personal sense of destiny. One of our 10 problem-solving devices. Before we dismissed, several asked, what verse will we be looking up next week? Which will be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It appears several are doing homework before each class, and that's fantastic. Your prayers are appreciated as God continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Also, I want to remind you that this Saturday, the evangelism team will be going to Child Haven and giving the grace gospel to the children. So pray that God would prepare the hearts of all the children and staff and bring them and pray for the team that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands to be used by Him, and pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately and that God might use this to bring many sons into glory. And also want to remind you once again that this Sunday is our congregational meeting. This Sunday, after the second class, congregational meeting. All right? So don't go putting out of here. You know, the deacons get up here. This is a big show for them. So, congregational meetings this Sunday. Now, in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have this evening of fellowshipping with you. through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 5, we're in the epilogue, the last two verses of this great letter, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 sounds like this: and we have learned the doctrine of the first advent in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present, that the Son of God has come and has given to us the ability to perceive. This is grace perspicacity. And grace perspicacity is made up of, first of all, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, combined with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. For the purpose that we might come to know, gnosko, come to know Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in Him, menowing in Him who is true, abiding in Christ, living the spiritual life, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. And then the last verse, verse 21, little children, that is, positive believers under authority, guard yourselves, a warning, a dire warning, guard yourselves from idolatry. Now, whenever I say idolatry, most of you say, well, I don't worship the golden calf. I don't have a golden calf. I'm not worshiping the idols. Well, there's all over America today, Americans are in idolatry and worshiping idols. Oh, they don't have a golden calf. And they haven't made an idol out of wood or silver or gold. But all throughout America, Americans are worshiping idols. And as we were beginning the doctrine of idolatry, I started out with 2 Timothy 3, and I'd like you to turn there again, because this describes the kinds of idolatry that are going on right now in the United States of America. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. That's because they're living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. They're very selfish, very self-centered. Lovers of money. Well, there's one of the idols that is being worshipped all over America. We are worshiping the idol of the almighty dollar all over America. It's spread everywhere, even through our, it's destroyed college athletics. We are worshiping the idol of the almighty dollar. That's the bottom line in America anymore. So people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, idolatry. Boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without virtue love, no virtue love, unforgiving. And that's when you have no virtue love, then you have no impersonal love for all. The key part of impersonal love for all is you forgive as Jesus Christ forgave. But that is not functioning because of idolatry. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of divine good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So instead of worshiping the living and true God, we're worshiping at the idol of pleasure. And then, having a form of godliness, that is religion, but denying its power. They have no power. No power of the Spirit of God, no power of the Word of God, no spiritual life. Therefore, have nothing to do with them. So that's exactly where we are in the world as we speak. So then we started out and we noted the first three points of the doctrine of idolatry. Point one was putting the spotlight on the believer. First of all, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system and under demon influence functions in the evil of idolatry. And then point two, put the spotlight on the unbeliever. The unbeliever under demon possession, or some of them, there is a lot of demon possession with unbelievers, or demon influence functions also in the evil of idolatry. And then point three, idolatry is analogous to spiritual fornication or adultery. And that's where we stopped last time. So we might even start with that passage, Jeremiah 3, 6 through. We stopped there last time. Let's start there tonight. Jeremiah 3, 6 through 10. Idolatry is analogous to spiritual fornication or adultery. Spiritual adultery was often used in the scriptures as a synonym for idolatry. And there's a lot of passages. Jeremiah 3, 6 through 10 says, during the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel, that's the northern kingdom, has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all of this, she would turn back to me, but she did not. And her unfaithful sister, Judah, that's the southern kingdom, saw it. I gave faithless Israel, the northern kingdom, her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all of her adulteries. That's the fifth cycle of national discipline. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister, Judah, the southern kingdom, had no fear, no fear of God, no fear of the Lord. She also went out and committed adultery because Israel, the northern kingdom's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood, idols. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister, Judah, did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. Now it's taught in other passages too, and some of these are very, very graphic. I will give you the passages, and you can study them on your own. Ezekiel 16, 23 to 29. Ezekiel 23, verses 28 and 30. Teach the same principle. Now that brings us to point four. Idolatry is called the devil's communion table. The devil's communion table. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 21. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. And if I don't seem to have a lot of gas tonight, I just hope you understand. I didn't get home till 2 in the morning and got up earlier, and so I don't have a lot of gas in the tank tonight. But 1 Corinthians 10, 19. Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons. That's the point. Idolatry, you're dealing with demons, are offered to demons. They're not offered to God. And I do not want you to fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Two, you cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. In idolatry, you are worshiping Satan and his crew, demons. That's what you are doing. Point five. Point five, the general characteristics of idolatry. First of all, is what we just noted, idolatry is related to demonism. It's related to demonism. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 21, we just saw. Idolatry combines demon possession and demon influence with the Phallic cult. And it was one of Satan's greatest systems of religion. Religion, idolatry, demonism, immoral degeneracy are a manifestation of the reversionistic status quo. Idolatry became the basis for every imaginable sin. Secondly, idolatry is related to sexual sins. Related to sexual sins. This is many passages, and some of them are very, very graphic. We will look at one of them, and the others I'll give to you. Ezekiel 23, 3 to 18. Leviticus 18, 3 to 25. But turn to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23, we'll start at verse 36. Ezekiel 23, starting at verse 36. The Lord said to me, Son of man, that's Ezekiel, will you judge Aholah, that's Samaria, that's a northern kingdom, and Aholabah, that's Jerusalem, representing the southern kingdom, Judah, then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children. And this is the idol Molech. And Molech was an idol, and they would bring their children and tie down their children in the arms of Molech. And there was a flames, a fire underneath. and the flames would burn their children alive. And while their children are screaming, they're having all kinds of sexual orgies going on, and they're using the screams of their children to stimulate their sexual orgies. That's how degenerate it was. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to me, as food for them. They have also done this to me. At that time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbath. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. That is what they did in my house, the house of the Lord. They even sent messengers for men who came from far away, and when they arrived, you bathed yourself with them, painted your eyes, put on your jewelry, you sat on an elegant couch with a table spread before it on which you had placed the incense and oil that belonged to me. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Sabaeans were brought from the desert, along with men from the rabble, and they put bracelets on the arms of the woman and her sister and beautiful crowns on their heads. And then I said about the one worn out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her, as men sleep with a prostitute. So they slept with those lewd women. Aholah, Samaria, the northern kingdom, and Aholibah, Jerusalem, representing Judah, the southern kingdom. But righteous men will sentence them to the punishment of women who commit adultery and shed blood, because they are adulterous and blood is on their hands. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Bring a mob against them and give them over to terror and plunder. The mob will stone them and cut them down with their swords. They will kill their sons and daughters and burn down their houses. And therefore I will put an end to lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not imitate you. You will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequences of your sins of idolatry. And then you will know that I am the Sovereign God. So idolatry is related to sexual sins. This includes abnormal sexual sins, as noted in Deuteronomy 12, 29 and 30-31, and Jeremiah 9, 13 and 14. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, 13 to 14. Jeremiah 9, 13 and 14. The Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law. Negative volition, rejecting Bible doctrine, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me, not obeyed God. In the Word of God, negative volition, arrogance. They have not obeyed me, obeyed the commandments of God's Word, or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. That's literally scar-tissued heart. They have scar-tissued hearts. They have followed the Baals as their fathers taught them. Now, what does that mean when it says they followed the Baals? In Jeremiah 9:14, Baal worship was the Phallic cult. Baal worship was the Phallic cult. And the Phallic cult includes immorality of all kinds. Immorality of all kinds in the Phallic cult, including incest and fornication and homosexuality and bestiality and demonism and human sacrifice and rejection of authority and immoral degeneracy of every kind. All of that was in the Phallic cult. Baal worship was the Phallic cult. The entire religious background of the Phallic cult is found in the Epic of Ugarit. And believe it or not, one of the classes at Dallas Theological Seminary was to study Ugarit and the Ugaritic writings. And God the Father is counterfeited in Ugarit by the god El. And then God the Son is counterfeited in the Ugaritic writings by Baal. And Baal has a struggle once a year with the god Mot. And Mot is the god of death. And he dies, which is a counterfeit of the cross. Baal had a wife sister named Anoth, who finds his body and brings it back to life. And that's the counterfeit of resurrection. She is the goddess of sex and murder and warfare and love. In Phoenician, she is called Ashtarte. In Latin, she is called Venus. All of this is in the Ugaritic writings. A counterfeit. Who is the greatest counterfeiter of all time? The ruler of this world. Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And this was Phallic cult, and idolatry was worshipped all over. So idolatry is related to human sacrifice. We've seen that. It's amplified Leviticus 20. We could turn over to Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, any Israelite or any alien living in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. The people of the community are to stone him. I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from his people. For by giving his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. If the people of the community close their eyes when that man gives one of his children to Molech, and they fail to put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and his family, and will cut off from their people both him and all who follow him in prostituting themselves to Molech." Leviticus 21 through 5. So idolatry is related to human sacrifice.
Idolatry is related to rejection of authority. Leviticus 20, verse 9. Idolatry is a part of social degeneracy. Leviticus 20, 10 to 23. All of this. So that was point 5, the general characteristics of idolatry. Point 6. Idolatry is always forbidden by God in any form. Idolatry is always forbidden by God in any form. We can turn over to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now look at verse 23. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. And then Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 24. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Exodus 23:24. And then go over to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. The first commandment of the Decalogue prohibits mental idolatry, Exodus 20, verse 3. And the second commandment prohibits overt idolatry, Exodus 20, 4 through 6. Exodus 24 through 6, second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love, virtue love, to a thousand generations of those who love me, who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and keep my commandments, obey my mandates, my commandments. Point 7. Idolatry results in the national judgment of the fifth cycle of discipline. Idolatry results in the national judgment of the fifth cycle of discipline. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7, starting at verse 16. So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood. The fathers light the fire. And the women knead the dough and make cakes of bread. For who? For the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven is the goddess Ishtar. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me, the living and true God, to anger, the function of the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground. And it will burn and not be quenched. Administration of the fifth cycle of discipline. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 6. Ezekiel 6, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, Ezekiel, set your face against the mountains of Israel, prophesy against them, and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to the mountains and the hills, to the ravines and the valleys. I am about to bring a sword. The fifth cycle of national discipline. I am about to bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars will be demolished, and your incense altars will be smashed, and I will slay your people in front of your idols. I will lay the dead bodies of the Israelites in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you live, the towns will be laid waste and the high places demolished, so that your altars will be laid waste and devastated, your idols smashed and ruined, your incense altars broken down, and what you have made wiped out. Your people will fall slain among you. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So idolatry results in the national judgment of the fifth cycle of discipline. Point 8. Idolatry is caused by rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. Idolatry is caused by rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. Rejection of Christ creates a vacuum in the soul, and into that vacuum is drawn idolatry. And Paul teaches this in a great passage in Romans chapter 1. Turn over to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, we taught this in great detail, but now we're in Romans chapter 8. Romans 1, that was about a millennium ago. See? Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness. This is unbeliever reversionism. Unbeliever reversionism. The wrath of God, His righteousness and justice, is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and unrighteousness, unbeliever reversionism. Men who suppress the truth, who reject the truth by their unrighteousness. Since what may be known about God is very plain to them. What may be known that there is a living and true God is very plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Creation. Creation. So that unbelievers are without excuse. For although they knew God, God consciousness, they neither glorified Him as God, nor did they give thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, idols, made to look like mortal man, corruptible man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles, idolatry. Romans 1:18-23. So idolatry begins in the mind and proceeds to overt practice. Begins in the mind and proceeds to overt practice. Ezekiel 14, verses 7 and 8. When any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me, the living and true God, and sets up idols in his heart, it always starts in your mentality, in your heart, your thinking, and sets up idols in his heart, and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face, and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. I will cut him off from my people, and then you will know that I am the Lord. So idolatry is caused by rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. Point 9. Point 9, we have idolatry and its relationship to emotional revolt of the soul, which produces psychotic conditions in the mentality. Idolatry in relationship to emotional revolt of the soul, which produces psychotic conditions in the soul. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 38. A drought on her waters, they will dry up, for it is a land of idols. Idols that go mad. This is psychotic conditions in the soul. Mad with terror. Fear. emotional revolt of the soul and emotional sins. 10. The believer in Jesus Christ is commanded to have nothing to do with idolatry. The believer in Jesus Christ is commanded to have nothing to do with idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 says, therefore, my beloved fellow believers, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. 11. Unbelievers worship demons through idolatry. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. Turn over to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, 20 and 21. This is the sixth trumpet, Revelation 9, verse 20. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent. And this is salvation repentance. With all of the judgments that will go on in the tribulation period, they do not repent, they do not change their thinking, they do not believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent. No salvation repentance. They did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their pharmakia. You might have something like magic arts. Pharmakia is where we get pharmacy. It's drug addiction. Great drug addiction. Nor did they repent of their murders, their drug addiction, their sexual immorality, or their thefts, looting and stealing. Well, all these things are all over the United States of America as we speak. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. Point 12. Idolatry, and we've seen this several different ways in this study, but idolatry is directly related to demonism. Directly related to demonism. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, 16 and 17. They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols. They sacrificed to demons. They sacrificed to demons, which are not God. To gods they had not known, to gods that recently appeared. To gods your fathers did not fear. Deuteronomy 32, 16 and 17. For the unbeliever, idolatry is the quickest way to become involved in demon possession. Idolatry gives the unbeliever the opportunity to use his volition for demon possession. Idolatry caused Israel to enter into great moral and immoral degeneracy. Psalm 106, 37 to 39. Into great moral and immoral degeneracy. And that has been going on in America. I really think there is a spiritual awakening in our country. And that would be fantastic. I know you all pray for that every single day. We are a nation that needs to turn back to God and His Word. And so I see it in a lot of different places. This is a very positive thing. Idolatry is demon possession to unbelievers and demon influence to believers. 1 Corinthians 10:14-21. And the believer under demon influence learns false doctrine. He learns the doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. That's the doctrine of idolatry. That completes 1 John. And this is a magnificent epistle, but John doesn't stop with 1 John. There are 5 chapters here. Now we go to 2 John, and there are 7 chapters there. You're seeing if there's only a few verses there. 2 John and 3 John the same. So we ought to be done with them next week. We'll start with 2 John next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We ask, Heavenly Father, that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us, that these principles will become reality and truth, that we will learn and get on red alert on these things and not get involved with idolatry in any way. We pray, sir, that we might continue to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, increase our love, and so that we might love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we might glorify thee to the maximum. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.